Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're on episode 38.
Kurt Schilling.
Kurt Schilling.
Let's go Red Sox.
There is a name for you, man.
Do you remember Kurt Schilling, man?
I do.
The bloody sock.
Did he play for Philly as well?
Yep, he played for Philly. He's played for a few teams, but...
That's right.
That World Series where he had an ankle problem and he had to keep on getting it stitched. And by the time the game was over, his like sock was like a giant tampon.
Yeah, that was gross.
He is the man.
Yeah.
Love Kurt Schilling.
So this episode is dedicated to Kurt Schilling.
Yeah, let's go Red Sox.
We'll get it over to him. We'll make sure he listens to it. What have you been up to since the last episode? You got some rest
yet? Holy crap, man. I feel so much better.
Me too, dude.
I apologize for the last episode. I was so congested.
Yeah.
And you can hear it on the recording.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't breathe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was pretty bad. I had a bit of a cold as well. And
Not to mention we were both exhausted. Might have to take a little bit of a break next year after Film Fest.
I think so. I'll admit, probably the last, since I got back, even up until last night, it's been a real chore to get to the movies. For me, I just, work's been busy too, so I actually fell asleep during one of my movies.
Not me. I watched four movies yesterday.
That's right. You're crazy.
I'm crazy.
So, more rest next year.
Four is nothing, man. Bring me six.
There you go. How are your sports teams doing?
Manchester United tied Manchester City on the weekend in a really boring game.
I saw that.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
One team was parking the bus and the other team couldn't score.
That's brutal.
Really boring. I got up really early to watch that.
That sucks.
And your team blew a lead.
Yeah, they did. They got beat in the air again. That's like...
So Mane scores in like the 90th minute and then gets a red card a minute later.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. How about that Benteke goal?
That was nice.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Jurgen Klopp's celebration right after that was just so beautiful.
Starting to like Jurgen Klopp?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah. His goal celebration was like more animated than some player celebrations.
Yep, pretty much.
It's like, yeah, right on, dude.
I'm pretty sure you don't even really want to talk about your football team.
Oh, Cowboys, no.
Cowboys.
Without Romo, they're nothing. It's crazy.
They blew a lead, right?
Yeah, they were up a touchdown. Oh, no, they tied it, I think. I'm so pissed off that I forgot all the events that happened. But yeah, Dwayne Harris, former Cowboy, brought it for like a 100-yard touchdown.
Wow.
On like a kickoff or punt. And then Beasley, with about a minute and a half left in the game, dropped a punt. And New York picked it up, so... It was messy.
My Packers had a bye week. But you know who we got next Sunday?
Denver.
The Broncos.
That's right. That's going to be a
both
nasty,
undefeated.
Nasty matchup.
So when the Broncos go home 5-1, like the bitches they are, they're the worst undefeated team I've ever seen.
They're pretty bad.
They're terrible. Peyton Manning has more picks than touchdowns this year.
That's right.
Yeah. He's terrible.
Yeah. And you guys are getting Devontae Adams back.
Yep.
So it's going to be crazy. I'm worried about that, though, because I'm 6-2 on my fantasy team. And I've got James Jones.
Not that I'm bragging.
Yeah, 6-2, making a run, baby. I've got James Jones on my team, so I'm not sure where he's going to end up. It might take a game or two, though,
Devontae Adams. Rodgers likes chucking to him, so
that's true.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
And, man, my Red Wings might have...
we can skip past this part.
What was that? The Canucks are up 2-0, right?
2-0, yeah. Third. That's right.
Lost an OT to my Red Wings.
That's right.
Ooh.
Yeah. Red Wings beat the Canucks.
So good. And I guess the other big story was last Monday night during Monday Night Football, they played the Star Wars trailer.
That's right.
And supposedly, when the trailer ended, tickets were going on sale.
That's right.
But I don't play fair.
No, Bill does not play fair.
I don't play fair. I found a back door on the Cineplex website that got Adrian and I our tickets like 45 minutes before the trailer aired.
That's right.
So we were just like watching the trailer in peace. It was beautiful.
With no worries.
No, it was great.
It was awesome.
The funny thing is, I wasn't the only person who found this because there was already seats sold when
there
I got
on
there.
There was a lot of seats taken.
Yeah. I got my seat.
Yeah.
It's all that matters.
Yeah, I'm going back-to-back screenings opening night, 7 o'clock and the 10 p.m. show. So I'm really excited for that.
I really hope it's good.
I hope so, too.
Because that would really suck if you had to watch it twice. And it's
I know.
Not very good.
if it sucks and I run into you, because you're sitting across from me because you're showing up for the second screening.
Yeah, I'm off work at 10.
Yeah, that's right.
It starts at 10:15.
Oh, shit. Okay, so we may not have a chance to say hello.
So, yeah, I'm legit going to, like, just grab a cab.
Yeah.
Second, like, at 10 o'clock and 1 second, I'm going to leave the store.
Yeah.
Jump in a cab, get to Silver City, hopefully by, like, 10:14.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they'll have a cool trailer on it.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, I hope for the best. No marathon in Victoria.
That's too bad, man.
Yeah, because it starts at 4:45 in the morning or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm not into that.
Yeah.
And it's $60.
Yeah, that's crazy.
A little steep.
It is.
But it's a lot of movie, but at the same time, you know, Adrian and I watched 15 movies in 24 hours, and it cost less than that to get.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like $40.
Yeah, and they were all really great movies for the most part.
And they gave us a lot of free shit.
Yeah. Yeah, they had sponsors. Cost them
money, yeah.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
Star Wars, man. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I'm really excited for this.
Me too.
The third trailer just hit all the right spots for me. We won't talk details because I know there's people who are not even watching the trailers, which I think is crazy, but do what you want to do, man.
Can I say something about the trailer?
Yeah, yeah.
A buddy of mine brought up. Shout out to Neil Corley, by the way, who brought this up to me. You don't see Luke. Are we all ready for Luke being the villain?
I'm not. He's not going to be the villain.
I'm getting the vibe, man.
You think
I'm getting
so?
The vibe.
I don't think I can handle that.
I don't think I could really either. My buddy Neil thinks that he's the leader of Kylo Ren.
That would be nuts.
With all the raid guys.
Yeah.
Because Kylo Ren has a posse, and supposedly it's the raid guys.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I know. And I was just like, holy shit.
Yeah, those guys from the raid, they're in this.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that.
Yep.
Oh, dude.
Like, there's so much going on in those trailers and so much you think about because they're not telling you anything.
Yeah, and we haven't seen Domhnall Gleeson in the trailer yet.
Yeah, it's unreal. Like, I maybe one of the smartest trailer campaigns I've ever seen.
It's great.
We're just going to show you some really cool scenes, and we're not really going to tell you what it's about.
No context, no narrative, just here's some cool footage.
So good.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been this excited for a movie in a very long time.
Yeah, me too.
And I usually hate nostalgia, but bring it.
Bring it on, dude.
Yeah.
This is our whole childhood. Yeah.
Hopefully we're going to record something right after we see it, too.
I think that's the plan. I think it would be awesome for the day of.
It's just going to be Adrian and I crying.
Yeah, that's right. Dude, it was awesome.
Yeah. Hopefully it's that. Hopefully it's not like, oh, fucking Jar Jar-like stuff.
Yeah. I'll be crying like a Wookiee.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
Cool. You ready to get into the episode?
Sure.
Cool. As usual, I guess we can start out with the rant.
Right on.
I'll get us started this time.
Sure.
All right. So this rant is a little bit of a retro rant, but it fits in with this episode because it's tied in with Bridge of Spies. This dawned on me while I was watching Bridge of Spies. Do you remember a long time ago when people were talking about that stupid colorized version of Man of Steel?
Was that really that long ago?
I guess not.
Like maybe 6 months ago, dude.
Maybe 6 months, yeah. There was talks of a colorized version of Man of Steel because, you know, Zack Snyder's films tend to be very toned down. A lot of blacks and grays. Colors don't really pop from his palette. That's a style choice, right? And I really like it. I think it's cool, especially for something that's so dark and not exactly upbeat and happy. When I watched Bridge of Spies, I noticed that Spielberg and Kaminsky, that's his cinematographer for a lot of his films, they use a lot of muted tones as well. And it's not lively and colorized, much like Man of Steel. I'm not comparing the two filmmakers in any way, shape, or form. It's just, again, it's a style choice. It does kind of support my opinion that people are just out to bitch about Snyder any chance they get. And why does Spielberg get a free pass in this respect? Because a lot of his films, very similar in color timing. It was just an observation, but again, just something I get annoyed with when it comes to people who are just so eager to cut down Zack Snyder.
Leave Steven Spielberg alone.
Yeah, that's right. I'll lead the campaign, man. I want a color version of Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, the dominant color in all Spielberg films now seems to be silver.
That's right.
Yeah. Which I guess is okay.
Yeah.
Works in a certain form.
Yeah.
But you kind of think Bridge of Spies isn't that film. I noticed it right away. I'm like, this doesn't really kind of work to me.
Yeah, maybe that's why I noticed it in this one. It was very noticeable. Oh, they're going with this again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Change it up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So that's my rant.
Cool. My rant is about, you know, how cool was it when that Star Wars trailer hit, man?
That was amazing.
Everybody on the internet was like crying on Twitter. It was great.
So stoked.
And it was like an awesome celebration of what it's like to be a nerd. Like everybody just loves Star Wars.
Totally.
So then a couple days later, why did you guys have to go and fuck up Back to the Future for me?
Oh, that's been brewing for years.
Back to the Future Day.
Oh, man.
Because yeah, in Back to the Future 2, they go back to a certain date. It's like October 26, 2015.
Yeah, that's right. 30 years in the future.
No, a 24th. I don't know. I don't even care anymore. That's the thing. I saw the movie yesterday. I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Everybody tried their damnedest to ruin Back to the Future for me on Back to the Future Day.
Oh, totally.
Could you guys please shut up about everything stupid about Back to the Future? Just shut up.
I've had enough.
I don't get it. Like, how can you guys be so cool about Star Wars and then just even like guys who are like super nerds, like Drew McWeeny, were telling people to shut up.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. And I was just like, I agree with you, man. Just shut up.
Yeah.
Rant over.
Yeah, right on, dude. I'm right there with you. I think it's because they think they're being clever.
They're
not. In the same sense that when people talk about Christmas movies, they talk about how Die Hard is their favorite Christmas movie. It's like, you just think you're so fucking cool and clever and smart, but you're really a idiot.
You're not cool. Yeah, yeah. It drives me nuts, too. Like, Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
No. Cool.
That's it, man.
All right, good rant. Good rant action.
Nice.
All right, so I guess we can get into some main review action.
What's the first film, sir?
First film, Crimson Peak, from our homeboy, my good friend, Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what that was from, but...
Oh, he was at Fantastic Fest.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't actually talk to him, but he's a friend of mine now.
Did you piss you out and we're like... trying to walk up there, but you were shaking?
I was like, I listened to him talk for 20 minutes. I'm cool with that. Cool. That was good enough for me, man.
Nice. You didn't want to get a picture with him?
No. I know what he looks like. I don't need a picture of him next to my face.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sitting on your face.
Hey, that might be cool. That might be for a totally different format, though.
Hey, this podcast has no rules. We are uncensored.
That's right. A Serbian podcast.
Pretty much.
All right, let's get into Crimson Peak.
There's something the matter with you, Edith. Something startled me, that's all.
A shadow.
All that lives in this house are shadows and creaks and groans. So you better soothe that boundless imagination of yours.
I just need a proper welcome, that's all. From now on, I want this house to contain nothing but friendship and love and warmth.
All right, so Crimson Peak, why don't you lay down the groundwork for us? What's this movie all about, Bill?
I got an awesome IMDb quote on this one.
Nice.
They write the dumbest little lines on what the movie's about. So I read this and I'm like, oh yeah, this is the one.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm going to read it in my game show voice.
Hey, there you go.
After a family tragedy, a young woman is torn between love for her childhood friend and I can't even do it in a straight voice.
All right.
And a mysterious outsider trying to escape her past. She is swept away to a house that breathes, bleeds, and remembers.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh my God. Like, who writes that shit? Like, somebody's getting paid on IMDb.
Guillermo del Toro wrote that.
Somebody's getting paid on IMDb to write that stuff, and I want that job.
That would be cool.
It's terrible.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. All right, so Crimson Peak, I think we're both in the same boat here. Not a good movie, right?
Horror movie for a 7-year-old that they can't watch because it's too violent.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's probably, that's an accurate statement.
Yeah, like it's a love story, like Twilight.
Yeah, with about the same chemistry, too.
Yeah,
With
no chemistry at all.
Yeah.
But it's really violent.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So technically, there's really no audience for this film.
Yeah, that's true. Unless you're at a festival, then it's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Which I saw juggled around, which is just bananas crazy. I don't know which version they were watching, but maybe I didn't bring my goggles.
I think you might have liked this a little more than I did, too, because I yeah. really did not like this film at all.
There were bits that I enjoyed, but you know me, like, you make a really beautiful film to watch, and it almost gets a pass on that premise, because the set design, the cinematography, just the way he shoots the film, it's very beautiful to watch.
But yeah, then 2 minutes later, after you're done marveling at it, then you have to, like, listen to the script and does nothing for me.
Yeah, it's a mess. Yeah,
I will admit, it does look really nice.
Oh, yeah.
And Hiddleston's really good, I think.
Yeah.
He's not bad.
Yeah.
I actually think he's pretty good. Mia Wasikowska is okay, and Jessica Chastain is lifeless and nothing going on there.
Yeah, there, yeah.
Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy.
He just needs to quit acting.
See, I liked him on Sons of Anarchy. He's really good on that.
Okay.
And I didn't mind him in Pacific Rim.
He was tolerable in that.
Yeah, you know? I don't think he's a bad actor. Just bad material here.
That's true.
He's there to look pretty, I guess.
Yeah.
He looks pretty.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's about it. What did I write down for my notes? I have here, this is the most watered down weak sauce. What a huge disappointment. And I think it's very sad. And this is partially the marketing of the film. But Guillermo del Toro included disclaimers before the screening at Fantastic Fest. When it screened for critics before it came out, he gave them a long page describing what the movie's really about. And I think that's a big sign of weakness when you have to do that.
Why didn't he just add another a giant voiceover?
I guess they could have done that.
No, but seriously, if you cannot get what's on the screen by what he has done, why does he have to make a page for it for people to know? You don't need that if you're a good filmmaker.
Yeah.
You're right. He's completely admitting that he has no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
Because he has to explain it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. This film is supposed to have romance in it, but they don't work together. And it's got horror elements, but it's not really scary or unnerving or unsettling. All of the things you want from a horror film. So it's really nothing of a film.
Jump scares.
I guess so.
That's about it.
Yeah, those don't work on me anymore.
No, they don't. No, because they usually telegraph them 50 miles away and you know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But that's their idea of being scary.
I guess so.
It's not cool.
Yeah.
I think I was more scared by the Paranormal Activity trailer.
That's true. And those ones are just like jack-in-the-box scares.
Oh, totally. Like,
You jump, but it's because it got really bloody loud.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, I saw it in a big giant IMAX theater where the sound's just cranked to 15.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like the jump scares are soundtrack cues that go really loud. And if you're not paying attention, like I wasn't.
That's right.
You jumped because it was like so obnoxiously loud.
Yeah.
But my whole idea of this film is it's like a shitty gothic Jane Austen novel that doesn't work from a director that should know how to make it work.
Oh, exactly.
And it doesn't.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely correct there. No argument from me.
And the major sin of this film is that it's boring.
It is very boring.
Yeah.
It's dull. Like, by the time it gets kind of interesting, you've got 10 minutes left in the film. And that's just wrong. As you said, that's a cinema sin. Like,
yep.
To punish your audience with something so dull and get sort of interesting, that's so frustrating.
Congratulations, you're Fantastic Four.
That's right.
Same thing.
Totally. Yeah. Dull cast.
Yeah.
But the cast should work. You know, you got Tom Hiddleston, Mia Wasikowska.
Charlie Hunnam's hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jessica Chastain, usually love her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations. You made me not like Jessica Chastain.
That's right.
You must win some award in our Fuck the Oscars show.
That's right.
Coming soon, by the way.
That's right.
Beware.
Yeah. I don't have much else to say about it.
I really don't either.
I can't recommend this film to anybody.
No, I can't either. And I think I liked it less than you did.
Yeah. And I loved the set design, and I thought it looked beautiful.
Yeah.
For me, that was kind of cool to be able to watch a beautiful film.
And you heard me last show, man. You were like kind of low on it. I'm like, oh, I still want to see it. I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I went in there with a fresh eye, man. Yeah. And I'm just, wow.
Yeah.
Adrian was being nice.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah, because this is not good.
I was trying to kind of be as vague as I could.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good. Not recommended good at all.
Don't see it.
No.
Don't rent
Plenty
it.
Plenty of other films that deserve your money. Have you seen The Martian yet?
Go see The Martian.
Yeah.
Go see Sicario, Steve Jobs.
Yeah, go see, yeah.
Bridge of Spies. Nope. Go see Goosebumps. Okay, don't see Goosebumps. We didn't see it.
We didn't see it. Go see Gem and the Holograms. It made like $1 million last week and it needs money. That's we didn't see it either, but I'm kind of embarrassed for it.
That's right. Or do what I recommend if you want something that's a blend of romance and horror. Go rent Spring.
Yeah. Or, you know, anything other than this.
That's right. That's right. All right.
Are we clear enough?
Don't see Crimson Peak.
Don't see Crimson Peak.
When they say beware of Crimson Peak, they mean beware of this shitty movie. There we go.
That's
a pull quote for you.
Done.
Let's move on.
Done.
All right. So Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg got together again. Let's talk about Bridge of Spies.
I'm an insurance lawyer. I haven't done criminal work in years.
It's like riding a bike, isn't it? You distinguished yourself at Nuremberg.
I was on the prosecution team.
Not the point. You're no stranger to criminal law. Jim, look at the situation. The man is publicly reviled.
And I will be too.
Yes, in more ignorant quarters. But that's exactly why this has to be done, and capably done. It can't look like our justice system tosses people on the ash heap.
All right, Bridge of Spies. Going into this, I knew nothing. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about Bridge of Spies?
An American lawyer is recruited by the CIA during the Cold War to help rescue a pilot detained in the Soviet Union. The only problem, the meetings in Germany. During, you know, other than that other thing, when they resurrected the wall, that was a pretty big time in Germany.
Oh, totally.
That other thing. Yeah.
That thing.
I think you all know what that one is, but yeah.
That's right.
They put a wall between West and East Germany, and that's sort of the time period where the film is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tensions are high.
Yes.
Between all three nations.
And the film's in silver.
That's right. It is in silver.
Yeah.
I want a colored version, damn it.
Yep.
I will not rest until somebody else does it on the internet.
So racist.
That's right. Actually, when you think about it, there were no visible minorities in this film.
No, pretty much.
A colored version of this film. Show enough.
Yeah, it's like The Hateful Eight already.
That's right.
Yeah.
Put Samuel L. Jackson in there somewhere. Okay. Before we lose more listeners.
Yeah.
What did you think of Bridge of Spies? You like it? Dislike it?
I liked it. I think I respect it. It's a really well-made film.
Yeah.
It's good.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't think it's great.
Yeah. I'm right there with you.
I feel like I've kind of seen it before, but it's so technically good. Because Spielberg, let's face it, he's a really amazing shooter. Kaminsky's a really good DP. Tom Hanks is like the perfect everyday person.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's a chameleon.
Yeah. He's like this generation's Gary Cooper. He's amazing.
Totally.
Always, you know, you're always going to get a great performance from Tom Hanks. I think you like this one a little more than me.
I did,
it was a lot. Yeah, I definitely respect the film. I think it's good.
Yeah, I really, really, really enjoyed this film because while I was watching it, I think this is probably because we came from festival season. When you're watching festival films, quite often they're independent films, maybe from first-time filmmakers, even first-time actors, right? You get a lot of people who are just making films with their friends, which is fine. Sometimes it works great. Other times it doesn't. So to come back home and watch Bridge of Spies, you're watching two guys that are in the top of their field, Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks, just at batting practice.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where Tom Hanks is talking to a guy in a bar. They're just talking. It dawned on me. I was just like, he's acting right now. He's at work right now. But it just feels so natural. Doesn't take any work on my side to suspend disbelief. I just believe everything that's going on. I take it all in. And I was like, man, this guy's so talented. Like, not that I didn't know that before. After watching a lot of amateur performances and then watch the best, one of the world's finest actors, one of the best actors of our time. It was just a real treat just to watch him play on screen for the runtime.
You know, say what you will about Cloud Atlas, but that's like a actor's showcase as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah, I love like, that.
How many roles did Tom Hanks play in Cloud Atlas?
Yeah, he played like four or
something. Yeah, like he's a really good actor. He's on another level. My whole thing about this film is that it's a really simple story. And it's not hard to make a really simple story. Spielberg just brings that class to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. There's another really, I think, great performance in the film. Mark Rylance.
Yeah.
Plays one of the guys who Tom Hanks defends in the film. And he is just so note perfect on every scene he is in. We hate the Oscars, but
yeah,
people should really look at him.
Oh, yeah.
Suppose he's a theater actor.
Yeah.
I never heard of him before,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
He just commands the screen every time he's on it. He's amazing. Oh,
yeah. For him to hold the screen with Tom Hanks the way he does,
yeah,
it's just unbelievable. And I don't remember seeing him in anything, but he's got a lot of credits. And like you said, he's a very accomplished stage actor. He's well-trained.
Oh, yeah.
And knows what he's doing, is aware of what he's doing. And his performance was great. I really enjoyed him.
I got a couple little nitpicks.
Yeah, sure.
Because it wouldn't be me without having a couple
there
nitpicks.
There you go.
There's some really weird editing in the film.
Oh, you mentioned that. What did
there's
you catch?
There's a scene at the beginning. It's not really a spoiler. It's like 5 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
Where Tom Hanks' daughter, you find out, is dating Tom Hanks' work partner.
Oh, that's that was weird.
Tom Hanks asked him to stay late at work. No, come to his house to do some work. He's like, well, I have a date. That's with his daughter.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to Tom Hanks at home, and his daughter's all mad. The guy comes in, and he's like, oh, and everybody's like, oh. Then it's never mentioned again.
Yeah.
Like, why was that scene even there?
It was weird.
Yeah, it was terrible.
That really took me out of the movie.
I know. I was just like, this movie is already like really good looking and everything is working perfectly fine. And then there's that giant sore thumb.
It did stick out.
Also, the score is obnoxious.
Yeah, at times it does. It is very overbearing. If there's any nitpicks I had about the film, it's that with everything that's going on in the film, I didn't feel the tension that I thought I should feel during those circumstances. You know, Tom Hanks, he's, you know, behind enemy lines kind of thing, right? I just never felt like he was in that much danger. It just felt like he was just chilling out.
Yeah.
There was one scene at the border that kind of raised my pulse a little bit. Maybe Denis Villeneuve has ruined everybody else for me. Maybe seeing Sicario last week has ruined things for me. But I just thought it could have been more tension in the film.
That's Tom Hanks' fault, though. No, it is, because you just kind of assume that Tom Hanks, nice guy, is going to talk his way out of everything because he's so nice.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody loves him, and he has a cold.
That's right.
And he keeps on telling everybody he has a cold, and everybody likes him because of it. And
Yeah.
Not a lot of tension.
Yeah.
But still really watchable.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody who's a Spielberg or Tom Hanks fan really needs to see this film just because it's very good.
Yeah, I respect it. Like, obviously, this film is not Munich. Like, that is a tension-filled film.
Oh, yeah. That's
not
true.
Like, Bridge of Spies is not that film.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
But it's still really watchable and good. I still think it's Munich.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I hate comparing people's catalogs, but Spielberg's made a couple of really good films in this kind of genre.
Oh, totally.
And I think Munich's a really damn good film.
Oh,
yeah. It doesn't get talked about a lot.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
But yeah, I respect the film. It's cool. Really good.
So Bridge of Spies, recommended to people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
Cool.
Out of all the, you know, we definitely do a lot worse.
Oh, totally.
Crimson Peak.
Like Crimson Peak. Right on. Okay, cool. Well, that's Bridge of Spies. We recommend it.
Yeah.
Go check it out. All right, the last of our main reviews, we're going to talk about Steve Jobs, which is directed by Danny Boyle, written by Aaron Sorkin.
I can't put it more simply than this. We need to put our resources into updating the Apple II.
By taking resources from the Mac.
It's failing. That's a fact.
It's overpriced.
There's no evidence that it's...
I'm the evidence. I'm the world's leading expert in the Mac, John. What's your resume?
All right, Steve Jobs, I think we all know what this is about, but give us a little bit to work with anyway.
Who's Steve Jobs?
I think he invented the BlackBerry.
Yeah, he might have.
Yeah, that's right.
So this movie is the behind the scenes of three major events in the life of Steve Jobs. The Mac launch, the Macintosh, I'm sorry, the creation and debut of Next, which was a company that Steve Jobs started that I didn't even really know existed.
Yeah.
For a reason.
Oh, yeah.
And the iMac.
Yeah, that's right.
That really weird looking PC thing. Or don't call it a PC, Bill. It's not a PC, Bill.
It's a Mac.
It's a Mac. I've been using a lot of hyperbole lately.
For this one, I think you can go with it, man.
Just okay,
go
with so it. We both just came back from like major film festivals, and we've been thrown out like we both saw some really amazing films.
Oh yeah,
and I have been saying a lot of like really big stuff about some films lately.
Oh yeah,
I don't really want to talk about my top 10 yet.
Yeah,
so I'm just gonna stop doing that. Holy crap, is this one of the best films of the year?
It totally is, isn't it? It's amazing.
And I don't want to talk about my top 10, but can I shout from the rooftops how much I love this film?
Do it, man. This is what it's for.
So I saw this film twice in 2 days.
You did?
And I legit think I could pretty much watch it every day.
Oh, totally.
And yeah, still just be absolutely entertained by its greatness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because a big giant hand of applause for Mr. Aaron Sorkin.
Aaron Sorkin, man. He is just the master. If you're unfamiliar with Aaron Sorkin, he's a screenwriter, writes a lot of great stuff. He wrote the screenplay for Social Network.
I got the list.
Oh, you got the list.
I got the list.
There you go. Give us the greatest hits here.
So he wrote the script for A Few Good Men, a little television show that I absolutely adore called The West Wing, Social Network, Moneyball, another really amazing TV show called The Newsroom. Nice little resume there.
Yeah, there you go.
As far as I'm concerned, he's, you know, say what you will about Quentin Tarantino, I think Aaron Sorkin writes the best dialogue in the business.
I don't think I could argue with that.
No, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Everything about it.
Yeah, it's just razor sharp.
The Steve Jobs guy is played by Michael Fassbender. You talk about Fassbender, you know, Shame,
oh, yeah,
or Hunger, you know, all those movies that he probably should have won a supporting actor for 12 Years a Slave.
300.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah.
300's great.
No, it's not. I had to throw you a curveball, man.
Didn't even faze me. This is like next level shit right here.
Totally.
Man. Every time he's on the screen, it's just electric. And he's on the screen for 98% of the film.
And he's a monster in this movie. You could argue that this is like a horror film because he's a monster and just a tyrant. But you love the guy.
Yeah, he has. Fassbender, to me, always has kind of had that on-off switch for assholeness.
Oh, totally.
And it works so brilliantly in this film because one minute you're just like, he's the worst human being in the world.
Yeah.
And then the next minute, you're laughing at him.
Yeah.
Because he's great. The whole movie really is about Steve Jobs had a child that he refused to actually admit was his child.
Right in front of her, he would admit that.
This just in. Steve Jobs wasn't the nicest guy in the world. He was a bit of a dick.
Yeah, totally.
If you want a really like in-depth view on Steve Jobs, Alex Gibney made a doc early in the year called Steve Jobs, the Man and the Machine. You'll get your fill there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
He's a dick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But, you know, it's not just the Michael Fassbender show. Kate Winslet.
Yeah, she is just outstanding.
What can you say about Kate Winslet?
She's amazing.
All the hyperbole for her. But I think the real finds in the film, because we both know that Michael Fassbender and Kate Winslet are just like next level. Seth Rogen.
He moved me in one scene in particular.
The thing about Seth Rogen in this film is he's the big, lovable teddy bear guy for the entire film. And you love him.
They really play to his strengths, and he really brings it, man. Like, he delivers one speech where I honestly almost, like, started applauding when he was finished. I was just like, fuck yeah, dude. That was so good. I was, like, all choked up and misty-eyed.
The thing about when he finally becomes dramatic guy in the film, because you love him so much for being, like, the nice guy, it makes it 1,000 times better.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything in this film is like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like everything was planned for a reason to make you like have the feels at the end of the film. Like it's perfect.
It's great. Yeah. I really, really enjoyed this. And one of the things I thought of is when you say biopic, I don't think this really fits in the traditional sense of biopic, but biopics should take notes from the way this film was made because there's no sugarcoating going on here. There's no glossy version of Steve Jobs in this. And I wish more biopics, like fucking Straight Outta Compton, took that path. You got to show people a side of them that we didn't see. Don't give us the bullshit speeches. Don't give us all the nice lovey-dovey stuff. Give us everything.
It's because you're a fly on the wall in this film, which is something that doesn't happen in biopics.
That's true.
You get the stupid dramatic story. I saw one about Hank Williams last month at VIFF called I Saw the Light.
Oh, right.
And it was terrible because it was just a big, giant greatest hits package of all this shit.
Yeah.
And it didn't make a lot of sense because, no, I don't really care about Hank Williams. I don't really care about Steve Jobs either. He made iPods.
Yeah, that's true.
The brilliance of everybody who came to this film just makes me love it. A couple other people in the film that I think are just amazing. Michael I can't even say his name. Stahlberg. Yeah, he plays one of the techs at Apple. He's heartbreaking.
Oh, dude,
heartbreaking.
So good.
Yeah, he has this confrontation with Jobs that is like the realest thing I've seen in a movie entire year. Jeff Daniels, who was in this Aaron Sorkin show, the Newsroom, shows up just to be the equal of Steve Jobs, and they just yell.
Oh, yeah.
And my God, do they yell.
It's great.
It's so good.
And it's not just that, too. This isn't a big spoiler, but you do see them when they're friends, too.
Yeah.
Jobs feeling.
Thinks of him as like a father figure.
So you see them as friends or family in their quieter moments. And you see their extremes where they disagree and fight and yell and shout and have basically dick measuring contest.
Pretty much. And Catherine Watterson from Inherent Vice.
Yeah, I loved seeing her in this.
Yeah, she's great. Nothing bad about this film. Usually, I'm not the biggest Danny Boyle fan.
Yeah, I think I get that sense from you. Yeah.
I'm the guy who dislikes Slumdog Millionaire.
Okay. I'm the Danny Boyle apologist.
Really?
On the podcast. I love him to bits.
Wow, yeah. Okay.
28 Days Later... Sunshine.
Man, I wish he'd shot...
Trainspotting.
I love Trainspotting. Yeah. I wish he'd shot 28 Days Later on film. That film pisses me off.
Yeah, it is the worst looking film you can watch.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It sucks.
But yeah, props to Danny Boyle.
Yeah.
I think he hits it out of the park with this one.
Oh, totally.
He has style choices in this film that you don't expect. Like everything in this film, you don't expect.
Really cool camera movements.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk a little bit about the technology of the different film stock that was used?
So there's
cameras, of course.
There's three distinct eras in the film. The first era of the film is shot in 16mm. It looks really cool.
Yeah. Grainy.
Yeah. And
gross.
And he doesn't cover up the blemishes on the film.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
And then it switches to 35mm, which looks better.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can tell the difference. Then he jumps to digital.
Yeah.
And it looks completely different.
Yeah.
And it's like such an amazing style choice. It's like when Xavier Dolan did that little move in Mummy last year and everybody's like, holy shit.
Yeah, totally.
You know, props to Danny Boyle. Like, I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I'm surprised that I didn't hear about that going into the film, because that's the kind of thing people love to talk about and spoil for everybody. Well, it's not a spoiler, but, you know, the people who are first to see it are always excited about that.
It's weird. I don't think a lot of people are liking this film as much as I did. You know, it played Telluride.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
And it was, you know, warmly received, but not like everybody didn't love it, and I don't see why.
I think it's a great film. I think it definitely deserves all the hyperbole. It's really hard to make any kind of argument against it. I never go into movies trying to find things to nitpick. I always kind of use this kind of example when I talk about when I notice something that's off. It's kind of like when you go to a restaurant and your food is burnt, you're going to notice, right? If it's overcooked or if it's undercooked, you're going to notice and you're going to go, oh, actually, these noodles are...
Unless it's brisket.
Unless it's brisket. It's
supposed to be that way.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, with this one, there was nothing I could really pick at. I really enjoyed everything. The performances, the dialogue is just top notch.
The freaking score.
The score is great.
My God. He does something really cool in the film. Characters are having giant arguments with each other, and he puts the score over it.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And it works so well.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I noticed in the film. Like, these characters are talking and there's score over it.
Yeah.
For like 15 straight minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's like, that's so great.
That's awesome.
Usually they don't do that kind of stuff in Hollywood. Yeah. Like, they want people just to talk and talk and talk.
and no distractions.
No, but yeah, you know, kudos to Danny Boyle.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And one thing I noticed too, and this might be sort of a, I don't want to get too crazy.
Get crazy.
There are bits that play in the movie where it felt a lot like a Terrence Malick kind of callback or flash forward, but it wasn't explained, but it didn't matter because it just looked damn cool. You get shots of Fassbender in a hallway or something, and it's played out of sequence. When it happens in the film, it all makes sense, and I think it just adds to the, like you said, style choices made in the film.
There's also something to be said about Boyle's choice not to show money shots.
Oh, totally.
He cuts when you don't think he's going to cut.
Yeah, it's very restrained.
And that's really cool.
I think it takes a lot of patience and discipline to do that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got nothing else to say, but other than this is one of the films that might be in consideration for my top 10. That's all cool. I'm going to say.
Right on, dude.
Yeah.
Right on. I haven't decided yet.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
Cool. Sounds good.
I threw a lot of like big words last episode, right? Yeah. Talked about a couple festival films.
Yeah.
Being like my favorites of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to throw that all out. I'm going to rewatch everything.
Right on, dude.
And I'm going to rank that shit.
Right on, dude.
But yeah.
We look forward to it.
Highest recommendation.
Oh yeah,
for Steve Jobs.
Check it out. I had one last little note. You may notice a young girl in the film. Her name is Perla Haney Jardine. She's an actress, but in the film she plays Steve Jobs' daughter named Lisa. But she was in the Kill Bill too. What was her name again? She was the little girl in Kill Bill too.
I don't remember the name.
Uma Thurman's daughter. She was in Kill Bill too, so I was like, to see her all grown up, I was like, I noticed her right away. I was like, oh shit, she's
like, how did you remember that?
It was just the curly hair in her eyes and the way she talked. Something clicked.
Rain Man.
That's right. That's right. Started mumbling, Kill Bill 2, Kill Bill 2.
I know, you said it like right after the film. You're like, was that girl in Kill Bill 2? And I'm like,
yeah, like, well, I don't
really?
That's right. Yeah, I had to get it out, so yeah.
Cool.
Go see Steve Jobs. Immediately.
It's amazing.
Well, I guess we can move on to the next part of the show, Movie Club. This time where Bill picked Dead Alive, Peter Jackson's, his third feature film?
Yeah, his third film, 1992. Also known as Brain Dead.
Okay, yeah.
But Dead Alive is the U.S. title of it.
Okay.
I gotta ask, was this film as nuts as a Serbian film?
I was thinking about that. The gross out factor is way up there.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
This one is definitely a lot more fun to watch, though, because it's so over the top. It's crazy. It's about a guy who loves his mother. His mother is like way overprotective. They've got this weird kind of relationship going on. She becomes a zombie.
She gets bitten by a rat.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It was like, what is that method? It's like stop motion.
Yeah.
Rat. And it's like so grotesque and so just violent and gory. And yeah, he's just trying to protect his zombie mother. And she infects some people. And it's gross the way she does it. As she decays and the other people decay, things get out of hand. And he's trying to, for some reason, he has them locked in the basement, trying to tranquilize them all the time and protect them. It's really fucked up.
Yes, folks. Peter Jackson, the maker of The Lord of the Rings and that shitty film, The Lovely Bones.
That's right.
Made really low budget, practical effect horror films.
Oh, yeah.
Back in New Zealand.
This is splattery, this one.
Yeah.
Blood, guts.
The really funny thing about it is when I was talking to you about it last night, you were like, it's just gross.
Yeah, it was so gross.
And I was like, thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
That's awesome.
That was the first thing that came to mind. It's gross.
It's all about the sound, eh?
Oh, yeah.
The sound is so good in the film.
Yeah, because some of the stuff is like happening off screen, like a little bit of it. But then you get the money shots, too.
Yeah.
And yeah, the sound really sells it.
Lots of cool like squishing sounds.
That's right.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, so things get out of control when, what's that, his uncle?
Yeah.
Decides to have a party at his house because he's going to inherit the house and all his money. He's like, I'm going to have a party. And then shit just gets out of control, man. It is just a splattery ooze fest. And it was so much fun to watch.
And then our hero gets a lawnmower.
That's right. Yeah, goes to town, on the town.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, if there's ever a zombie apocalypse, definitely going to have my lawnmower with me.
That's right.
Because it takes care of zombies pretty quick.
Yeah, and you're going to need a blender, too.
And something so you don't slip on the floor.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They really call a lot of attention to the slipperiness of all the blood everywhere.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about this movie is that, like you said, they use practical effects. I think you were spot on when you told me it was like, yeah, you're grossed out because it's all practical effects. It's not CGI bullshit.
It's not clean.
Yeah.
Nothing clean about this film.
Really messy.
Yeah.
Really gross. And Sarah and I were just giggling and howling through the whole movie.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, she really enjoyed it. So
cool.
It was a lot of fun.
So, yeah, Jackson owns the rights now to all these first three films.
Oh, cool.
Which is why the Blu-ray went out of print.
Oh, I see.
Which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, want people to be able to watch this movie in digital.
Oh, yeah.
But I hope a company like Scream Factory gets it or something like that.
That would be cool.
Or hell, Criterion. Let's just go full.
Criterion should have this.
Totally.
It needs to be celebrated, this film.
I love the MPAA rating for this film.
Oh, what is it?
It's rated R for an abundance of outrageous gore.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, that's the slug line on that.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Abundance.
Abundance. That is so awesome. Yeah.
I kind of like the idea that somebody at the MPAA had to watch Dead Alive to rate it.
That's true. Picturing some old blue hair lady going, oh my God.
In my dreams, man.
That's right.
That would be great.
Yeah. You know, probably the part that got me the most was when he pulled the dog out of his mom's mouth because she ate the dog. And she's like, she ate my dog. And he's like, not all of it. I was like, oh, that's so sick.
So good.
Oh, and I really enjoyed the zombie baby running around and just being a little asshole to everybody.
Nice.
Like, when he was at the park with the baby, I was just like, couldn't stop laughing.
So you think Peter Jackson likes Sam Raimi films?
Oh, totally. I think there's definitely like a mutual admiration club thing going on there.
Yeah.
They both were like, through Dead Alive and through films like Drag Me to Hell, you can see that they're both just kind of borrowing from each other and just being like, dude, you're awesome.
Yeah. That's cool, man. Halloween is now over.
Yeah, that's right.
Two films in Halloween.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You survived.
Yeah, Serbian film and Dead Alive. A couple hardcore films.
Yeah. I knew you would dig Dead Alive because it's funny as hell.
Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah.
It is so funny. Like, the priest, what did he say again? He's like, I fight for God or whatever. He saw. That scene was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm super glad you liked it. Super glad Sarah liked it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so you survived Halloween. That's cool.
Sweet.
Yeah. Anything else? Or?
Oh, I don't know, man. Just if anybody hasn't seen it, wherever you can, track down a copy of Dead Alive. It is funny and awesome.
I'm glad you liked it. On to the next film.
Yeah. What's the next choice? You hinted at this and I couldn't even guess.
Okay. So we're back to the normal schedule now. No more Halloween. Yeah. And the last show was the 90s. So this is the 80s.
That's right.
This episode's Movie Club film is Brazil from Terry Gilliam.
Oh, shit. Brazil. Yeah. I haven't seen Brazil.
Nice.
Right on. Nice.
I tried to get Adrian to guess it and he still couldn't guess it.
Yeah.
But I gave him some blatant clues.
That's true.
But here's the thing. Brazil has multiple versions.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. Okay. When Gilliam was putting it out, Universal didn't like the film, so they made two other versions of it.
Oh, wow.
The Criterion Blu-ray has all three versions.
Okay.
But you have to watch the final cut.
The final cut. Okay.
Yeah. It's Gilliam's original vision.
Cool.
And he did a couple more tweaks later on, but you're not allowed to watch any other version other than the final cut.
Cool. Final cut. Brazil.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I think the final cut's like 142 minutes.
Oh, cool.
That's your runtime.
Yeah.
The other one's like, there's like a version on the Blu-ray. I think it's like 90 something minutes.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah. So,
it's not even the same movie.
They butchered it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brazil's got a huge story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So, next episode could be pretty cool.
Cool, man.
Glad you haven't seen it.
Brazil. Yeah, I've got it on Criterion on Blu-ray. I haven't watched it. I've had it for probably 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, just like Three Colors Trilogy. They were probably in the same order.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool, man. Brazil. Cool.
Yeah.
Check it out. Okay, so if you want to join the discussion of Brazil, here's what you do for Movie Club, because we want to encourage participation from anybody, whether you're first-time listener, long-time listener, if there is such a thing. First time, long time. The right time. Yeah, you have until November...
Fucking condom ad. That's
right. Slip it on.
Is that your sexy voice?
Hit like and subscribe. That's right.
Gross.
That's my condom ad. Condom/podcast ad. Okay, so you have until November 8th if you want to hit us up on Twitter, Facebook. Just send one of us a message, what you thought of Brazil.
Might be a good deal to, you know, maybe send that to Adrian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, send it to me or to the Twitter account.
Me no Twitter.
That's right. Yeah, Bill will retweet the man of the match for days, but he won't respond to you.
No.
So yeah, hit up @green_screen or me directly. I'm @Adrian_Charlie. So yeah, if you want to send us your comments, you can. We'll read out some comments if we get some, and let us know what you think of Brazil.
Cool.
Cool. All right, so I guess we're ready for our next section of the show, the lightning round. This is where we just talk about other movies we've watched between the last episode. Just give everybody a quick and dirty kind of, what did you think? Like it, dislike it, should we see it, etc. Did you want to go first?
Sure, I got a few.
Cool.
I'm back to my usual rhythm after the film festival.
Oh yeah, watching 40 films every 2 weeks.
Pretty much. Actually, I haven't played a lot of video games.
Me too.
Yeah. First off, Beasts of No Nation.
Oh, shoot.
Netflix, yeah. Baby.
That's right.
Yeah, it's out in the theaters and it's on Netflix. Don't know how that's going to work financially, but I watched it at midnight when it came out and it was beautiful.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Right on.
The film's great.
Nice.
It's about young kids becoming soldiers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's really brutal. And if that sounds like a really harsh movie, you might not like that kind of subject. You might not want to watch it.
Okay.
It's pretty brutal.
Wow.
But I think it's really good.
Cool. Yeah, I've been hearing great things. Can't wait.
Netflix, check it out. Knock Knock, the new Eli Roth movie. It's kind of a waste of time.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Yeah, I liked Green Inferno quite a bit. He actually made this one like a year after Green Inferno because Green Inferno got delayed.
Yeah, this one's kind of sitting around too.
Yeah, right? With Keanu Reeves and a couple girls. And Keanu Reeves lets these two girls in to dry off in a rainstorm. And they become like sadists and torture them.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time. Yeah,
boring.
Oh.
Didn't like it at all. One that I know you've seen, you saw it at South by Southwest, The Final Girls.
Oh, I love this movie.
So good.
Isn't it amazing?
So good. Like,
yeah.
I love this film. It's a movie within a movie.
Yeah, it's very meta.
Yeah, and it's a horror film, but it's a funny horror film.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah, and a buddy of mine hates horror films, but he liked this one.
Wicked.
So, check that out. It's awesome.
So funny.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I wanted to comment on really quickly is that there was a part in that movie that like really touched me a little bit. There was a mother-daughter kind of relationship there.
Yep.
I thought that was very heartfelt and very warm. I really appreciated that.
Did Adrian cry?
I got choked up.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. My last thing, and I spent 6 hours in the theater yesterday watching the Back to the Future trilogy.
Yeah, how was that?
Which is funny because after all the stupid stuff I heard a couple of days ago, I really didn't want to go.
Yeah.
I was just so Back to the Future'd out.
Yeah.
Didn't care. It's kind of fun.
Nice.
Yeah, I liked it. Cool. I hadn't seen part two and three in a very long time.
Right.
Say what you will about three. You know, it's kind of a, it's an okay film. It's fun. Yeah. Nothing major. Two's really good.
Yeah.
One's really good.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Cool.
Yeah. It was, and there was a lot of fans and everybody was having a good time and, you know, people going to movies and having a good time is a good thing in my book. Yeah, so
that's awesome.
Especially when you're like celebrating old film.
Yeah.
So
I think that's great.
Yeah.
To get the community involved. If I can offer my two cents on that, I love the first, like the second, basically hate the third. Even as a little kid, I was like, oh, wow. Third sucked.
I think the third is cool because it's just so different.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that.
Cool. Yeah, I haven't revisited it since I was a little kid. Nice. So I might have to watch it again.
Cool.
It's cool. That's all you got for Lightning?
That's all I got.
Right on. I'll jump in with my few choices. On the topic of Back to the Future, there's a documentary that just came out called Back in Time. That's sort of a celebration of Back to the Future and the whole 30-year anniversary. Basically, they interview the filmmakers, producers, writers, Robert Zemeckis.
Huey Lewis?
Huey Lewis is in
it. Nice!
Yeah, the guy who played the mayor. What's his name? What was that character's name? I could run for mayor.
Gordy Wilson, I think.
I think so. Basically, just interview people, talk about the experience of making the film, and they talk about the fans and how it's led to people with a huge following of like buying a DeLorean and restoring it to be like the DeLorean and Back to the Future. And they talk about Michael J. Fox's charity, and there's a couple that drives around America just raising funds for his charity, and they do it in a DeLorean that's been fitted to look like Back to the Future DeLorean.
Nice.
Oh, it's really cool. It's really light. I've got some problems with it toward the end. It lingers on a few things a little bit too long. Kind of all over the place. But if you're looking for some more nostalgia, some more of that spirit of Back to the Future, it's a good film.
Great Scott.
Great Scott. That's right. Back in Time, it's on Netflix. So that's how I watched it.
Cool. I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's worth watching.
I just spent 6 hours watching Back to the Future.
That's right.
Another hour and a half can't be bad.
That's right. I also watch, with a disclaimer, I nodded off during this film only because I was tired. I assure you it's not because it's boring, because I was really enjoying myself, but I was tired. It's The Last Witch Hunter, the new Vin Diesel movie, where he's swinging a fucking flaming sword, dude. Flaming fucking sword.
You and your stupid, like, cheesy action films, man.
It's better than I, Frankenstein. It is so cool.
Fuck.
So, yeah. I nodded off during it only because I was tired. But what I did see of it, I was enjoying.
The greatest thing ever is that Adrian told me he nodded off, so we wouldn't have to like main review it.
Yeah.
So yeah. I didn't have to see it.
That's right. That's right.
Didn't want to see this one.
Yeah. Well, I you probably would have hated it.
Thank you.
Yeah. And speaking of other films you probably would hate, Paranormal Activity Part 13 opened last weekend. And it's a frustrating movie, man. It's got a shaky camera. The sound gets cranked up out of nowhere.
Jump scares.
Ooh.
The cheapest thing in Hollywood, man.
It is terrible. Just really easy, boring setups.
Luckily, it's the final Paranormal Activity film.
Fucking, I hope so. Because when it's the final film, it should wrap some stuff up. And it sort of does, but it really doesn't. They raise more questions than they answer in this film.
Bye.
Yeah, see you later.
See ya.
Yeah.
Never want to see you again.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm done with that franchise.
The franchise high point, I think, was part three.
Part three.
Part for three sure. is awesome.
Part three rules.
Yeah. Part one's pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Part two sucks.
Yeah. The rest of them are not good.
Part three, really, really good. Part four sucked. Wasn't scary. The marked ones, though, I did kind of enjoy that.
That whole film existed to explain one scene in Paranormal Activity 1.
That's true. When you put it, well, that's not, there's no way of putting it. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
If I can quote No Country for Old Men, which I just read that part in the book.
Nice.
Anyway, let's move on. We've talked way too much about Paranormal Activity.
Is that it for you?
One more.
Nice.
This is not a new release by any means, but Miller's Crossing, one of the early Coen Brothers films. I finally watched that and loved it. It's so good. Just an enjoyable film to watch and beautifully shot. So,
we all love Coen Brothers in a fun mood. Like, we saw the trailer for Hail Caesar last night.
Oh, so good.
It looks so great.
Yeah.
But man, I love me some serious Coen Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Miller's Crossing is a badass film.
Yeah. We talked about Sam Raimi earlier, and he's got a little bit part in that, too.
Yep.
That was so cool, seeing Sam Raimi. I was like, hey, that was Sam Raimi.
Yeah, such a good film.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
Yeah, the Coen Brothers. Not a lot of people have a catalog that good.
Yeah. And Marcia Gay Harden back then, I was just like, damn. Oh, yeah. She got it going on in that film, dude.
Nice.
Yeah, I was glad I was alone. I'll just say that much.
Perving out to the Coen Brothers, man?
That's right.
Nice.
Yeah, slow-mo is invented for a reason.
Yeah.
All right. Enough of being a perv. What are we going to talk about next episode?
A couple of good ones here, I think. One really big one.
Nice.
We're getting to that.
That's the way I like it.
We're getting to that season, man.
Yeah.
October 30th, Burnt with Bradley Cooper, the chef.
Oh, yeah. I know nothing about
this. Heard this is awful.
Yeah, it's probably why I haven't heard of it.
It's played a lot screening-wise and heard a lot of bad things about it.
Oh.
I'll still probably see it.
Me too.
For the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our brand is Crisis.
What's that again?
Know that one? Political film.
Oh, Sandra Bullock.
And she goes down to a... South American country to try to fix some buddy's campaign who's like 30 points behind.
Mm-hmm.
I think it looks funny.
Yeah.
It's David Gordon Green.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Fuck, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, David Gordon Green. I'm in, man.
I saw that too, and I'm like, sold.
Hey, all right.
This one could be good. I've kind of liked the little bumpers they've had before movies lately. The Scout Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
Looks kind of fun.
The marketing for that's been pretty good.
If it's like Zombieland, I'll be really into that film.
It totally looks like the spirit of that, for sure.
Looks like it could be a fun time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And then on October 6th, one of the biggest films of the year, Spectre.
Oh, yeah.
The new James Bond film.
Oh, dude. I love me some James Bond. And Daniel Craig is James Bond.
Yeah.
He's my favorite.
I think he might actually be mine, too.
Yeah.
Bond has become really quite good the last, like, three films.
Yeah.
And this one does not look like it's going to disappoint.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for the best.
Right on.
The Peanuts movie.
Oh, no. I'm skipping that.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I saw bits of the trailer, and I was just, like, not into it.
I shouldn't talk. We legit skipped a lot of movies this show.
We did.
We did not see Gem and the Holograms. We did not see Goosebumps.
Goosebumps.
I did not see the Paranormal movie.
I did not see
Witch Hunter. And I'm like, I'm usually the guy who sees everything.
Yeah.
So I'll see the Peanuts movie, man.
Nice. Yeah. Take one for the team.
And this is a big week for limited films. Brooklyn opens.
Okay.
Which was the opening gala of the Vancouver International Film Festival.
Right on.
It's a good movie.
Cool.
It's just, I don't think it's great.
Okay.
It's very safe. But I liked it.
Cool.
Entertainment finally opens for everybody to say it's the worst film of the year.
Oh,
and then
okay.
There's Bill in the corner going, I really liked it.
Oh, that one. I can't wait to see that.
I know. And Spotlight, which I've heard is a really great film about news reporters trying to report priests who rape children.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And sounds...
everybody's in it.
Wow.
Yeah. Michael Keaton's in it. Rachel McAdams is in it.
Oh, okay.
Mark Ruffalo's in it. Stanley Tucci's in it. A bunch of people.
Right on.
Supposedly it's a really big Oscar film, and I heard it's really good. Can't wait for that.
Cool.
So I don't know when we're getting those three.
Yeah.
So, and I think you're going to be able to see Room on the weekend. So
yeah, I was going to bring that up. Yeah, Room. That's, I believe, expanding probably every week kind of thing. Don't know the exact.
It's wide in Canada on the 30th.
Oh, it is? Okay, yeah. Cool. Right on. Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Cool.
I love that film.
Nice.
But yeah, that's it, man. Next right show. On. What?
Oh, looking forward to it, man. Cool. All right. Well, I guess we can wrap things up. Guess we should tell people where they can find us online. You're on Twitter, right?
@SoundJam69.
The show has a Twitter account. It's @TheGreen_Screen. We're also on Facebook. Run a search, The Green Screen of Death. I have a Twitter account. It's @Adrian_Charlie. You can also find us on various podcast platforms like iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher. Just run a search, Green Screen of Death. Hit like, leave a comment, subscribe. That helps us find a wider audience. We'd really appreciate that. I guess that wraps it up for episode 38. So thanks very much, everybody, for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.